Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number 1.
If you were the general manager of the Bears, which player would you make a move for at the 3 p.m. trade deadline today?
I guess I just spent more money on the defensive line. I would try to get a pass rusher. I would try to, quote, pillage the Raiders, end quote. And if we're going to go there and we're going to dare to dream, how do you get Max Crosby?
What you giving up?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Probably some, I would say probably some positional redundancy, right? You're giving up draft capital. You probably have to give up like a Montez Sweat type, give him something back, but I don't necessarily know that they'd want that contract. So that's where it gets tricky. You're going to have to give up somebody of value and or assets of value to make it work. And we're now learning that part of the return on the Sauce Gardner trade, this is per Jay Glazer, is A.D. Mitchell is also heading to the Jets. So you're talking about A.D. Mitchell and 2 first-rounders for Sauce Gardner. So what on earth is the price for a guy like Max Crosby?
Well,
that's 2 first-rounders and something else.
That's why I'm aiming a lot less. I'm trying to give up less. So I'm targeting.
Which means you're probably getting less in return.
Which means I'm targeting Trey Hendrickson. Go get him. Mm. Time's never been better to go get a guy than right now. They're coming off that depressing, we don't have a defense loss. We're not going to have a defense. Mm. Trey Hendrickson's not going to make us have a defense. You're not going to re-sign Trey Hendrickson. Trade him right now. Bears, go get him.
He's 30, so yeah. That would help kind of ease the blow of the exchange.
I think he's not as valuable as a Max Crosby because of the age thing and understanding that the Bears don't have to re-sign him. He could just be a stopgap in a year where clearly you need help on the line. So it's a matter of how high of a draft capital are you willing to give up. I don't think it would cost a first rounder at this point.
If the Bears are serious about going to the playoffs with other than the NFL NFLing and having to go maximum effort and having to win games in weird ways that don't seem sustainable, if they are serious about that, they have to know, and they have to know this, Bears are in trouble with the defensive line and getting to the quarterback. As both of you have just said, the Dayo Odangbo thing, while Dayo Odangbo has not been particularly productive, he is still one of the most qualified rushers on the Bears to get to the quarterback. He is, despite what Austin Booker did, I still believe he's probably more qualified and better than Austin Booker.
Much.
Yes. And I know some Bears are like, get out of here, Austin Booker. I know, like, everybody loves Austin Booker right now because you don't know what Austin Booker is capable of and you've seen the flashes of him. But this Odangbo thing really is troublesome. Montez Sweat has been playing better. Dominique Robinson has a high ankle sprain, and you don't depend on Dominique Robinson to be a double-digit sack guy. So the answer is I'm right in line with you guys. You have to get, and I don't know if they're going to do it or not. My guess is they won't, but either go for Trey Hendricks or just get completely crazy and put the stake in on Max Crosby.
Yeah, you just end up going by human nature to the extreme of the trade.
It
it's
is.
Just what happens.
Yes.
What about, I'm starting out, what about like Bradley Chubb?
Yeah, Matthew Judon.
I mean, I feel like those are possible names. Yeah.
Okay.
How about, like, it? And of course, we would all be happy if they went and got Jeffrey Simmons. And I don't know that he's available even, but the defensive lineman for the Tennessee Titans. Does another defensive lineman help to fix the problem, Grady Jarrett? I mean, like,
can you move guys around up front?
Right.
Too? That's the thing. That's the advantage they had when you look at what they had in the, with their second round rookie, Shamar.
Yeah.
Like, he was able to move around. Do you have anybody else that you go out that you get creative with? Not the accounting of it with the finances, but the accounting of the audit of what you have up front.
It's just hilarious that we're talking about a team that is seriously 10th in the NFL in defensive line spending. And this is still
yeah,
the discussion.
That's such a great
like,
point.
That is where I get back to every single time on this.
Yeah.
Every time.
Number two.
Is there an NFL coordinator whose seat is hotter than that of Cowboys defensive coordinator and former Bears head coach Matt Eberflus?
What's that?
It was so entertaining to read the post from Clarence Hill on X yesterday that said boos are raining down on the Cowboys defense. And I don't think all of that is on him, by the way. I think some of it is on the fact that Jerry Jones traded Micah Parsons. Both can be true.
Mm.
But the first red flag, I believe, in Dallas was the game where Caleb Williams, for the first time in his career, wasn't even sacked in the game. They lose, of course, ceremoniously to the Bears here in Chicago. And that, I think, was the first indication that Matt Eberflus may not be the defensive coordinator that they actually wanted in Dallas. Your second indication, as if you actually needed one, was what happened last night against the Arizona Cardinals, giving them only their third win of the season. And they won handily. And yes, it did make me flash back to that terrible game last year where DeMercado ran for a billion yards in the first half.
You used the D word. There it was.
DeMercado.
DeMercado.
DeMercado did a good job in that game.
DeMercado.
And the Cardinals did a good job in this one. The Cowboys allowed 14 points in the second quarter. They allowed another 10 in the third. Cardinals got their third win of the season, winning 27-17. I don't know what it is about that team that plays Matt Eberflus so well. And Amari DeMercado ran for 79 yards in this one. But once again, they're just letting Jacoby Brissett and the Arizona Cardinals work their magic and beat them
Cowboys
at home by 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's Matt Eberflus.
I just started watching the Netflix Cowboys thing from the 90s. It's good. Go ahead, Marshall.
I was going to say, could it be Chip Kelly? Chip Kelly's in Las Vegas. He's the offensive coordinator there.
Okay.
They don't really score a lot of points in Las Vegas. They've lost games 20-9, 40-6, 31-0. I mean, that was the Chiefs, but yeah, you get the general idea.
Did he replace Luke Getsy, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, whew, it's a bad situation in Las Vegas right now as far as offense goes. They've yet to score over 24 points in any game. That was back-to-back games against the Commanders and Bears. I was going to say the Browns, but I was like, oh, Kevin Stefanski calls the plays. Well, wait, he just handed over the play calling duties. Yeah. That's
again,
like that last step.
A yearly tradition.
Like no other.
It's like a ceremony.
I will submit for this segment one Alfred James Golden Jr., better known as Al Golden, better
fair
known
enough
as the defense against which the Bears played on Sunday. He is the Cincinnati, the former Notre Dame defensive coordinator and the current Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator. And they have had, like, they are having atrocious sort of Mel Tucker, like, former Bears defensive coordinator year here for the Bengals. We all saw what the Bears did. Look, Kyle Manungai, 176 yards against your defense. The defense, by the way, that doesn't do the fundamentals right. Hey, tackle.
Wrap up.
That's pretty indictable for the 56-year-old.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody. Here is question number three. Cubs right-hander Cade Horton was named an NL Rookie of the Year finalist, along with Brewers infielder Caleb Durbin and Braves catcher Drake Baldwin. Do you think Horton will emerge as the award winner?
I want him to.
Wow.
Is that bad? The way I said that just now, I would like him to. I think that that's pretty incredible. It's just, I feel like the playoff results, even though they shouldn't matter in these races, often do. And, you know, Drake Baldwin obviously kind of sits outside of that. Everybody's impressive for different reasons. Like Baldwin being a catcher and being able to hit so well, so young, I think there is a certain... Baseball will be more kind and more... They'll prop up catchers who hit. You know, it's not just Cal Raleigh, although that was... There needed no explanation for Cal Raleigh's performance. But I feel like when you're young and you're a good hitting catcher, the world is your oyster in baseball. So... An 810 OPS in his rookie season, that's going to give him an impressive mark. Then Durbin, of course, playing for the Brewers, who did advance to the NLCS. I wonder how much that will help him, and not just that, but the home runs and the stolen bases combined. But Horton being not being able to pitch in the playoffs, I worry that that might actually hurt him, even though it's an injury issue.
But you vote before the playoffs.
I know, but still... I just, when you look at it all together, I just feel like Baldwin might be, he might end up being the guy because of the young catcher point.
Oh, I think it's Horton's to lose because of, it's one of the things that they take into consideration is how high pressure was your situation as a rookie? And I think for a team to make the playoffs on the strength of Cade Horton being the best pitcher on the team to make the playoffs, that's going to carry the weight here that gets him over the finish line compared to the other combatants, if you will.
Yeah, I'm a little bit with both of you. I'm with Layla, and I definitely want to see him win it. But
I just think when you're a playoff team like the Brewers, and they had such a good stretch.
Well, and Baldwin, too. Like the catcher thing is huge, and catchers are in. as you said... The 810 OPS, his 3.1 F4 leading all NL rookies, 19 home runs. I think it's closer than you think, Marshall, between Cade Horton and Baldwin.
I think it's close, yeah. But I think the deciding factor will be the fact that Cade Horton was the best pitcher on a team that got to the playoffs.
And pitchers are pitchers.
And so. he had to carry them because you look around at what everybody else was doing in the second half. Jameson Taillon was better, but he didn't pitch that much. You know what happened with Imanaga. Matt Boyd had an ERA over 4 in the second half.
I mean, I know what he was relative to his team, but I'm just saying, I think that think about how the Brewers went on that ridiculous tear and like how that's going to influence how people vote. I don't know. I feel like that stuff comes into play.
I think a dollar bet is in order here because I definitely think Cade Horton's going to take this. I'd like to collect a dollar from each of them.
Well, you already bet on this, if I recall.
With whom?
FanDuel.
One of your little apps.
Oh, no, I didn't get on that.
Oh, you didn't?
The odds had changed, and I was like, "That I'm not doing those odds."
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, he became the favorite, and then I was like, I just missed it. Yeah.
Okay, I'd forgotten that part of it.
So, but I would gladly take a dollar from each of you. Anybody back there want to give me a dollar as well?
It's Cade Horton. He's going to
okay,
win.
Good, okay,
Horton, here's a who. That's it.
I'm going for Cade Horton.
So. I don't know why I'm just so, like, it's... I don't know why I'm so like skeptical about it.
It's fair points. Fair points for sure. But I'm going to put my little cubby heart filled with hope up.
I don't even have a cubby heart.
Ray's little cubby heart.
He's also the betting favorite.
That's true.
So there you go.
That helps.
Number four.
Oh my God, we have a White Sox question. Do you like the White Sox decision to pick up Luis Robert Jr.'s $20 million option?
I do not like it. I love it.
Why?
Because he showed in flashes when he was healthy that he was still very much a capable baseball player. Now you retain his rights, and you can flip him later if you want to. And if your team is ahead of schedule, like I'm hoping they will be, he can actually just play for the White Sox and be good.
Luis Robert had a really, really frustrating second half of the season, did he not? And I say second half like post-All-Star break.
Yeah.
That part of it for me was hard to watch because I wanted him to add so much value. And I know he had some injury issues as well at the trade deadline, but that was part of it for me where I was just thinking like, oh, if he can only get from point A to B, how is that going to work out in his favor for being traded? And when you're already considering the concept of being better to get traded and to bring value to another team, then I'm not real sure why you'd pick up the option. And I know this has been an ongoing discussion. Like, I know that this is something that people have talked about for a while now. What's the breaking news, Ray? Just let us know.
According to Adam Schefter, the Browns are sending defensive end what? Joe Triton Shoinoka and a 7th-round pick to the Chicago Bears in exchange for a 6th-round pick, per sources.
There's the help.
There it is.
That's going on the promo.
We'll also learn how to say his name properly.
Let's look at this. Oh, yeah. Tryon Shoyinka,
I think. There we go. That sounds better.
Shoyinka?
It's Shoyinka.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey, the clear thing is we don't know who this guy is, really. Yeah.
Joe Tryon Shoyinka. Here's his stats.
And a 7th-round pick.
8 games. Ask me how many sacks he has.
Marshall, how many sacks does he have?
Zero.
Oh, good. Just what the Bears need.
But he does have some tackles.
So this is another
prospect? Ask me how many tackles for losses he has.
2.
Zero.
All right, so this is another projection.
This is a clear projection depth piece.
And like, what did they give up? What did they give up again?
6th-rounder.
What was your favorite part about the dreaming for Max Crosby 5 hot minutes that we had together as a show?
Are you saying
the
dream is dead?
Show? Are they trolling us? Oh, yeah? You think we're going to get Crosby?
I troll myself.
Here's Odinko. Yeah.
So is the headline breaking news, the Bears trade for a warm body on defense?
I mean, I feel bad for the player at this point because he didn't do anything.
Joe?
Okay, so he has 15 sacks in 74 games.
We need a defensive back and a defensive end.
And
C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
Emergency podcast.
Yeah,
do you do a podcast today just anyway? Because
no, we don't. We actually, Dan and I were discussing it. We said, I'll let you in on the little backstage stuff. We said if the Bears are to make a blockbuster move like Max Crosby, we would do a show, and we both agreed we probably won't be doing a show today.
This is not the blockbuster.
This doesn't meet the criteria.
Even before that, we were like, Dan and I are not projecting a massive deal right now. And it could be wrong. This could be the appetizer to something bigger.
Sorry, Joe. You don't qualify for an emergency podcast.
Well, the texter at the top, that is a great text. Zero sacks, 0 TFL while working with Myles Garrett. Oh, that's good.
I didn't think about that piece of it.
I know.
That's
All right, so whatever.
It's very Bears.
Bears got a new prospect. That's fine. Let's see what else they
do. A 26-year-old prospect? Is that what we call 26-year-olds now? Prospects?
I guess, man. Smack dab in the prime, right? I mean, I guess that's not a prospect. You're right. How many years has he played? My phone just died.
He's second on the depth chart behind Myles Garrett. He's played 5 years.
It's noon. Season. How'd your phone die?
I don't know. I didn't have the...
Well, we don't get the Wi-Fi back here, which means we don't always get your texts on time, and for that makes your phone use more battery.
I'll let you use my charger.
I got a charger. I just got to get that in my bag.
We're organized here. Congratulations to Luis Robert for getting $20 million, even though that's a lot of the... You realize that's a big portion of the White Sox payroll.
They're going to
and Andrew Benintendi.
They're going to pay some more people.
Let me tell you what it is for Luis Robert. I just want them to be done with that era. It's time to just break off the last piece. Is that the last piece of it? You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what, because Luis will disappoint you. He'll do spectacular things, but in the end, guess what? He'll disappoint you. So just like all of those players, just like Tim Anderson, just like Eloy Jimenez, just like Yoan Moncada, they all disappoint you in the end. Just break ties with the guy, but obviously they're not doing that yet.
Somebody said they replaced Odangbo with Odangbo.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break and regroup. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. The Bears make a trade. We'll talk a little bit more about it coming up next, and we'll examine the Bears rookies on Sunday against the Bengals. We'll do that too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Listen to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
With the 32nd pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Joe Tryon, linebacker, Washington.
Who's this guy?
Hey, that's not cool. He has a whole other part of his last name.
Roger Goodell saw the last name and was like, I won't try.
I'm
not even going to try. But from the official Cleveland Browns pronunciation guide, it's Shoyinka. Shoyinka.
So the trick with Japanese names is, and I don't know that this one is necessarily, but I know some, when you can see them, you can tell, like Imanaga. Typically are phonetic. It's just a matter of you know, kind of sounding it out. But point being, the Bears did make a trade today. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. And we do have some breaking news, as we mentioned. Breaking news on The Score brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. We were trying to figure out what the Bears wanted to do, knowing Dio Odengbo is lost to a season-ending Achilles injury, and the Bears tried to back up that position. The Browns sent Joy Tryon Shoyinka, the defensive end, and a 7th-round pick to the Bears in exchange for a 6th-round pick, per sources. So they get at least somebody who can help on the roster. That's kind of how I felt about them picking up CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, although with him, I think the benefit there was that he knew Dennis Allen's defense. You already saw kind of how he fit in even on Sunday against the Bengals without a full week of practice. So we knew that the Bears wanted to add to the defensive line, and at least they get somebody in being able to do so.
Yeah, and he's not the answer, clearly, but he is probably better than the other sort of nuclear option as the team existed before that, and that would be somebody like Daniel Hardy getting another chance to play defensive end, to play some defense. And he has obviously been standing out on special teams. So you can't look at this and say, yep, your things, they are beginning. This is the tiniest little speck in beginning to make the pass rush better, even before Dio Odengbo left, and now even more so.
So Tryon Shoyinka, through 8 games, has not started a game. He's played 31 snaps on defense. And as we mentioned before, he has yet to sack the quarterback or even record a pressure. Here's the thing. He was a first-round pick by the Buccaneers back in 2021, the 32nd overall pick. He did have the 15 sacks I talked about over 4 seasons with the Bucs before leaving in free agency to join the Browns in 2025. And that makes you think that things just weren't working out in Cleveland.
Well, and I think a couple of texters have picked up on this. I agree. He's 6'5", listed, this is pre-draft, listed at 259, so that's been a few years. But arm length, 34, we know how Ryan Poles loves a big wingspan. And I know that's something Dennis Allen has been very complimentary of as well when it comes to his players having the length. That was part of the reason Dio Odengbo, he was excited about him, was he kind of fit that body mold. So it seems like that's something that we can see take place here when it comes to this is the type, the physical prototype of somebody who Dennis Allen wants on his defensive line.
Also, did we say that the Bears were getting a 7th-round pick back?
I believe it was 6th.
Well, so no, they sent a 6th-rounder. They're getting the player and a 7th-rounder in exchange.
Oh, okay.
So that changes the deal a little bit. Because we know in the 7th round, you might pick up a Kyle Manungai.
That's right.
Adam Schefter. So Adam Schefter posted that on X, and then the first reply underneath says, "Let's go, Browns. We will not stop until we own every 6th-round pick in the draft. They will be ours." This is just a friendly reminder that it could be worse. Could be worse.
Yeah, they really could be. And guess who the Bears have later on? So I cannot wait. for the revenge game of Joe Tryon Joyinka when they pay a toll to the Browns.
What's the over under on the sacks for that game?
I guess 0.5 because he doesn't have one yet.
I mean, we'll see. But
Flacco got sacked 3 times, right, Sunday?
He did.
All right, there it is.
Does this signal anything? Like, do we think this is their only move? Do we think the Bears are now just like kind of coasting through the trade deadline?
To me, this seems like that. They did something, right?
No. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
They checked a box.
Brody, they did do something, but I think there could be more out here. They need more help, honestly.
Can the Bears spend the Bellinger money for the Cubs? 708. Now that's creative accounting.
Belly money. Yeah. No, didn't we say Belly and Tucker are both going to end up with the Dodgers?
I said that's a possibility.
I think it should be a default. Anytime somebody has value to a team that's significant, yeah, just factor them in as a possibility.
What if I just told you they were going to get 2 of the 3, Bellinger, Schwarber, Tucker. Dodgers get 2 of the 3. How would you feel about that?
God, man. Schwarber going there?
Nah, I think he's going to San Francisco.
Are you just hoping at this point the Dodgers trade some of their players a la Michael Bush?
Yeah, no, but that's really what
you kind
of have to.
Is that what the rest of the league is hoping for?
They got the deepest pockets, man.
Could you see the great Schwarbino going to the Yankees as well? Which would be full circle. Because
the shortest of porches.
Full circle.
That would be perfect
for him. He's like Babe Ruth, right? He's kind of. It's funny, man. Like watching old watching old Kyle Schwarber from 2016 with the Cubs. They had the World Series on the other day.
Interesting.
Like and now he's so much bigger back then. Like he does. Like the Babe Ruth thing was befitting then, and now he's pretty sculpted. Like,
you know what he was back then? Just a baby.
He was just a baby. And it does look like baby fat. It kind of does.
Well,
like,
I don't know.
He's an
about
adorable
that.
Schwarber. Yeah.
Adorable Schwarber.
Adorb Schwarbs.
There are a lot of just a babies on that team. Just a baby.
They were all babies.
They're
Chris
all grown
Bryant,
now.
Like they were all just 22 forever. And then all of a sudden now they're 32. And some of them are retiring.
Some of them are out of baseball.
Rizzo retiring. No, but I can see Schwarber going to the Yankees.
And if you missed that news earlier, Shota Imanaga set to become a free agent. So that's the big Cubs news. That according to multiple reports. So is this a suitable replacement given that the production wasn't exactly there to begin with? I'm okay with the idea. And Dennis Allen definitely has a type of player that he wants to acquire.
Building depth, that's what they're doing. They are looking for new guys to solve the problem that has been their pass rushing defense. And you know, that doesn't look like the answer, but they might think there's something there that they can get something out of.
I also want to take this time to point out that yet again, you're backed up into a corner a little bit when you decided to commit so much money to these players. When you decided to commit so much money to the defensive line, how much could you really do?
It's going to be interesting to go back to the offseason and see what other defensive linemen, defensive ends, edges sign for and compare it to what the Bears went out and got with Dai Odingbo.
Huh.
And see the production that they had on their respective squads compared to Dio's.
Well, and to be fair, what were Dai Odingbo's other offers at the time?
You know,
that's part of it too.
This Colts is Raheemi go. I mean, that tells you everything. Right?
Well, and a Colts team that's 7-2 now. You know, that's I thought about that too today when I was going to work. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. It's NFL trade deadline day, and like we said, we got some Shota Imanaga news. So we're all just kind of processing these roster moves together.
Dai Odingbo with the ruptured Achilles tendon, people know he's going to be out for the rest of this year. 3 years, 48 mil, though, is what they gave him. He has, so far this year, a sack, 21 tackles, 4 QB hits for the 3 years for $48 million. A projection player, just like the newest Chicago Bear is certainly, Shoyinka is a projection player as well.
I'm not going to. All right. Okay. So Luis Robert hit slightly better in the second half than the first half.
Oh, yeah. He hit more than slightly better because he didn't hit at all in the first half.
Is anybody with me, though?
I'm still on this.
No, I'm not. I'm not with you.
I just never thought I would be thinking Luis Robert deserves. I feel like the Seinfeld episode where George's dad is yelling at fake George Steinbrenner, how could you give $5 million to Hideki Rabu? That's kind of how I feel about it. You didn't have to do this. This was your option to pick up and yours only.
Rabu!
Do you remember when Tim Anderson got knocked out of town? Like knocked out of town.
Yeah. Down goes Tim.
And has not been the same since. Don't mess with Jose Ramirez, dude.
Well, yeah. He also finalist for AL MVP, Jose Ramirez.
A little badass.
I love him.
So, just a little guy, but he's a badass.
So Luis Robert Jr. is not him.
He's a baby.
Luis Robert Jr. is not Tim Anderson or some of these other guys that you are very happy to see go away. He still has potential.
Yeah.
Other guys on the downside of their careers, if their careers are not over,
something stinks about it.
There's been so many years where his bat speed was so slow, and I wonder how the skills have changed for him or what he would be able to do on another team.
How old is he these days? 27, going to guess. I'm going to go ahead and guess. I'm going to put my money that he is 27 years old.
28.
Look at me. Pretty
close.
Same
age as Max Crosby. Born in the same month.
Okay. All right. Bring on Max Crosby.
Luis Robert for Max Crosby is not a trade.
That will not happen. And they're all gone. Except for Luis Robert.
Did you guys see the text talking about where Shota Imanaga is going to end up?
Duh.
Dun, 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 dun.
They said the Dodgers. Definitely.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
say the Cardinals or the Brewers.
I could see that, by the way.
What, Cardinals or the Brewers?
Imanaga with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
His Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
Teammates. They're big over there.
Oh, man. Can you imagine the fun? Even if he's not good, he could just have fun. He could just, you know, get a towel, walk out of the shower with his flip flops on, and sing. You know?
His humor is second to none.
He seems hilarious.
He's brilliant as a comedian.
Yeah, he seems like an entertaining guy.
He used to be a brilliant pitcher.
At one point in time, hey, we were talking about
the
this.
Pitches. His fastball was fast enough, and he was tunneling the pitches. Yes, Mark Grody.
You were kind of taking shots at Shota, and look,
at Shota?
The reason that it's so shocking is because you have told us many times that he is your favorite player on the Cubs, and now you just dismiss him. Now you
he was my favorite player on the Cubs.
I
love his personality. He was fun.
I get concerned for the rest of the group here. We now know that Marshall can, you know, like somebody, maybe even pick a favorite, and then he'll let you go just like that.
Luis Robert's going to lead the payroll at $20 million, and then Andrew Benintendi at 17.
Watch out, Doug.
Yeah. That's how it goes. But they
and
might
then
sign
Martin
somebody.
Perez at $10 million.
This segment, boy, this has been something. We have talked about spraying to all feelings.
I mean,
this
it's okay
has
to
been
have
hilarious.
Sunk cost.
I love it.
I am not over this.
I'm good
all,
with
right now. We're all doing our own show.
No. I'm hilarious. With you guys.
But you know what's funny? It's all about personnel.
What?
It's all about personnel. Like, everything we're talking about is personnel.
Oh, it is
7-0-8, I'm not hating on the Sox. I want them to make good decisions with their money. They don't have a lot of it.
They have
the poor White Sox.
They have a bunch of young, inexpensive players. The Robert Jr.'s option in makes all the sense in the world to me.
I'm going to be thinking about this. Coming up next, here, Raheem Harris and Grody. Let's examine more from the Bears game on Sunday. Should we talk about the quarterback a bit? I think we should.
COE.
Also, tonight, the Bulls host the Sixers at the United Center. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45. Tip-off is at 7 on the Score. And the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Heli Forklifts. So let's talk a little Caleb Williams. What we saw that Ben Johnson, I think, after the tape, clarified yet again. It's worth a discussion. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheem Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Third and goal, Bengals rush. Fourth to the end zone. Loveland for the Chicago touchdown. So can Caleb Williams atones for the miscue just in the previous play, and he slings one to his rookie tight end to put the Bears back in front.
Quick timing, set up, throw it on time, on target.
That is courtesy of CBS Sports from Sunday's Bears win over the Bengals, 47-42. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Caleb Williams, 20 of 34 for 280 yards, averaging 8.2 yards, three touchdowns, only two sacks. A nice line for Caleb Williams, in addition to the Bears being able to rush for 283 yards and that game-winning touchdown, the most important pass he threw, of course, all day. We'd been examining the performances of mostly special teams so far, I feel like, in the win over the Bengals. Bears score 47 points. We talked a lot about the running game. I feel like we've talked about quarterback enough, knowing that it's not a complete game by any means based on his potential. But when he needed to make the absolute necessary throw to win, he did.
And it was a hell of a play. Double
stepped
hell.
Up in the pocket, yeah. Threw over the middle to the receiver who was open. And even though he was covered in, you know, double coverage, the physical mismatch was open enough to where he got him the ball and Loveland did the rest. It was drawn up perfectly.
In the most important moment of the game, he got it to the player in the scheme that they were looking for in a position where the player could then make a play. And that wasn't the case all day, and it hasn't been the case all season that every time he makes a completion, that player can then go out and make a play. That's why I think this was a huge step, bigger than what Mark Grody thinks, huge step for Caleb Williams going forward as a springboard to say, okay, another piece of development.
The nuance becomes, were there other opportunities in the game? Sure. But when you absolutely needed to do the thing, you did it. So that gives us a different lens when we look at this. I think that's fair. And as I've said before, I bet it's a lot easier to coach this week after a win like that, knowing you can build on something when your team did what it needed to in the most important times.
I think it's important that Ben Johnson feels like Caleb Williams played a good game and is getting better. As long as he tells me that he's getting better in his eyes, because he knows exactly what he needs for his offense to run at a high level.
I feel like number one was avoid sacks. Number two is, for me, performance in the pocket. That's going to be the next thing in the development that you're trying to work on. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say after he watched the film about Caleb Williams and his evaluation of him playing in the pocket.
What did you see about him in the pocket upon further review? I know you'd offered yesterday that he didn't throw a pick, but that you wanted to take a look at everything else.
Yeah, no, there's a number of things that I was pretty pleased with. It's looking more like I want it to look, that he wants it to look like. I can think of one particular instance off the top of my head before halftime where call play and they end up clouding it to the side of the primary. So that's not there. He gets through his progression and quickly dumps the ball to the back as he's stepping up in the pocket. Now, we didn't throw our best ball. It was a little bit high and we didn't haul it in, but that to me was what we want this quarterback to look like as he's playing within the timing and the rhythm of the offense and trusting his feet to take him through the progression. So something for us to build on. There's a couple that we can continue to clean up, and I think he's starting to play faster. The more reps we're getting on some of these concepts, he's understanding the intent, the coverages that we're really looking to get. And, you know, if we're not getting those coverages, can we quickly get to number two or number three, or even look to run with that ball? So, it's coming along nicely.
See, I look at it as, and I'll use his word, a building block. It was encouraging for sure what Caleb Williams did at the end of the game. I just don't think that this was the performance where you look and say that that's a game changer. We have seen like the light came on, and it's because of what we saw the rest of the game, which at times was inaccurate. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but I would say it was average for Caleb Williams. I don't know. So I don't know if it's a game changer. Like, I know you're kind of saying it is, Marshall. I look at it as it continuing to add it to the collection of encouraging moments, of big throws. You even go back to last year when we were collecting plays, the home game against Minnesota, the 27-yard bullet. I say that because it reminded me of this play, the 27-yard 27-yard bullet to DJ Moore at the end. Back-to-back elite throws to Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. Added that to the collection. The loss to Washington last year. Took them down the field, got the touchdown and the two-pointer. That was like encouraging, and you look at it as that if your quarterback can do that, you have got one part of the problem down. He is good in the fourth quarter, and we have been seeing that. The Raiders game this year, encouraging. 11-play, 69-yard drive at the very end. Swift with the touchdown to win it, but it was not a good game for Caleb Williams other than that, coming down to that. And then, of course, I give him the Dallas game with the four touchdowns. So I just don't want to overstate what this game means. And, of course, it's awesome what he did at the end, but I'm still looking at the entire game.
I respect what you're saying when you talk about laying out moments and pieces and plays that makes a collection of plays. But at the end of the day, when it's Caleb Williams – and I don't know that we could say this last year because they had a 10-game losing streak. You want to know with the game on the line, end of the game, your quarterback can lead you on a game-winning drive. And for him to do it in a game like that where you knew points were just out here,
yeah,
I think that's why this is a big step.
To get a win is what you're saying.
To get a dub.
I can't take that away from you. So yeah.
Here's how I see it is that in the first quarter when you're scripting the first 15 plays, they needed to buy into that. They needed to be able to score touchdowns off that first 15 early in the season so the head coach can say to his team, look what happens when you buy in. Look what happens when you try it my way. That thing that makes you special, yes, I love that thing, but let's try this first. And then that's when you can build on it. You can say, hey, see what you did here in the pocket? Mm-hmm. See how you stepped up? See how you threw over the middle? That will help you. You know, like you've got, I feel like a lot of times you have to have something where you can say, let's build on this thing you did well. And that's kind of how I felt about it.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing is I'm building in my mind a sustainable quarterback. And I'd call that play elite even. We'll talk to Tim Jenkins, but we could talk about, you know, whether or not you consider that an elite NFL throw and the play by Colston Loveland as well. But it is the rest of the stuff throughout the game. And we've all been talking about it. This is not an original thought. Doing the simple stuff better. And that's what I'm building up in my head. So that's where my critique comes from, my bar. And this is like not saying anything. Like he has progressed this year. He is a better quarterback than last year. I just am not using this game as like a launching pad to way bigger.
I think you're underestimating how important it is for his teammates, coaches, whoever, for the city of Chicago to believe, hey, game on the line, Caleb Williams gets it done. That's what happened
in this
game.
Kind of known that. I've always sort of felt hasn't the evidence been building?
Do we go back one game where he had a chance to do it and didn't do it against the Ravens?
Yeah.
And that's why they ultimately could not come back and win the game.
But there were games
he threw
last
the interception.
Year, like I said, the Washington game where he always played better.
But you're not getting wins. You got to have the end result. You have to have the win.
But you're right. But you can build evidence that a player is good in the fourth quarter, which there has been much evidence of in his entire time here, Caleb.
We have more coming up. Mark mentioned it. Our quarterback guru, Tim Jenkins, who studies the film for you, is joining us next here at Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.